You're Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Tim Stützle, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Welcome inside episode 261 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan in the heart of enemy territory, downtown Toronto, alongside Brandon Piller up in Collingwood. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20, new promo code alert, LOCKEDON20, and you'll get 20% off your first order. It's an Ottawa Senators game day. The team brings their 7-15-1 record into tonight's matchup against the Calgary Flames, their third straight match against these opponents. And, well, they've got two more after a date with the Canadiens tomorrow night. So a back-to-back, and that means we'll see a couple lineup changes. We'll let you know what those are. Optional skate this morning, but we've got a pretty good idea of the line combos, and it includes a pair of centers switching spots. So stay tuned for all that information. We also have our mid-season report cards. We are almost, yes, almost, not all the way at the halfway mark, but we thought Monday a great time to reflect on what we've seen through these first 23 games. Stay tuned for all that and more. This is the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day. Today is Monday, March 1st, and holy crap, Pilsy, it's March.
Yeah, I'm glad it's March. It seems crazy that it's almost a year ago that kind of the whole world flipped on its head. It was, when was that last game? March 11th, the Kings and Sens. That is wild that it's been almost a 12-month cycle of all this, but we have Ottawa Senators hockey, and the boys are rolling. It was a tough game last game, but their last 7 or 8 games, they've been hot, and I'm expecting another good performance here up against the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, 5 of Ottawa's 7 wins on the season have come in their last 8 games. So the team's been hot, but the 3-game win streak concluded on Saturday in, what would you say, an exclamatory fashion. The Flames doubling up Ottawa 6-3. It was 2-0 4 minutes into the game. What does Ottawa need to do tonight to get back into the win column, or at least push it to make it a competitive game through the second and third period?
Well, definitely you can't let the Flames get off to a lead, especially we're not sure who's going to start in net tonight. I'm hoping it's going to be Joey Decord. I think that makes the most sense. He already faced the Flames, did well. Give Matt Murray another kind of mental break and have him go against the Canadiens, who he's played well in his career and as an Ottawa Senator. So they need to get a good start for the goalies, because get off to that hot start, then the goalie feels like he's more in the game. He's got to keep his team in the game. If you get up to a 1-0 lead, the young guys will be firing on all cylinders if they're feeling positive, if they got some positive momentum right off the bat. So that's going to be the most important thing here. The first 2.5 minutes, I'm going to be dialed in to see how the Sens play here, because oftentimes, Ross, they're starting great and they're buzzing, but then it's that first chance the opponent gets that ends up in the net, and then it's all the way back to point zero and they lose momentum. So that can't happen.
No doubt. When you're looking at the Flames as well, 6-1-2 when scoring the first goal. The team that scored first has won both games in this 2-game set, and the Flames have been outscored by 9 goals in the first period. So you're looking at a team that has been known as a fragile team these last couple weeks. They don't really have an identity right now. So make them question that at every turn. And how do you do that? You provide offense. And that might be a little harder tonight because there's going to be one lineup change. Eric Brandstrom, his 3-game point streak, his 2-game goal streak ended. But after that game, it wasn't his best game. Like, we can't sugarcoat it. He got walked again. That Gabranson-Brandstrom pair as a whole was just awful. But it's a situation where you're looking at it, and in a season where you're looking for growth from younger players and accountability, it's the kid that gets taken out of the lineup, whereas Gabranson's probably going to be playing top 3, top 4 minutes again. What are your thoughts on Braden Coburn entering and Eric Brandstrom sitting this one out?
Well, I don't like hearing that. Like, on paper, that doesn't sound great. On Twitter, that's cause for outcry. But you know, Branstrom, he's kind of been iffy here and there. He hasn't had a lot of ice time. Sure, he's been producing in the limited amount of ice time he has had, but I don't think it's the worst thing to give him a night off, let him watch the game from a different viewpoint on a back-to-back. Then he's got a different perspective. He's feeling a little motivated. Then he comes in for that second game of the back-to-back and hopefully plays a good game and hopefully gets a decent amount of minutes. But yeah, I'm not excited about Coburn coming into this lineup because that's tough. It's too bad we can't see that kind of switch and Willanen get entered into this game because he's a guy that's been sitting out for quite some time now. It seems like he's kind of the big dog in DJ Smith's doghouse.
Maybe it's just a birthday present for Braden Coburn, who turned 36 on February 27th. So a belated gift from DJ Smith, getting him back in the lineup. I will say that against Montreal in his last game with Ottawa about a week and a half ago, it was Braden Coburn's best game with the Sens. I believe he had played 17-23 and was a plus one, and Ottawa ended up winning that game as well. So hopefully he's not a complete liability, but that's not what we should be expecting from one of these veterans, just to not be a liability. So, you know, it's a situation where DJ Smith said, we'll see Branstrom back soon. I would assume as early as tomorrow in Montreal. It just can't be a situation where it's long-term Branstrom sitting out, because he hasn't earned that disrespect, especially where he is right now on a, what would you call it? A confidence tear. Like, you got to be feeling good about yourself. Branstrom now, 40 games it takes him to get his first goal, and then he's a scratch 3 games later.
Yeah, and then that's the thing. You don't want to – it's kind of like the flip side of this coin, right? Like, often you're looking at young guys, and they have a couple bad games in a row, and you're like, hey, we want to stop that bad momentum. Let's get you off the ice, watch a game, then you come back, and hopefully you bounce back. But this is kind of the opposite scenario. Branstrom's probably feeling confident. You want to leave him on while he's feeling hot, but some of his plays have been questionable, especially defensively. But that's to be expected with Branstrom, right? Like, you got to take the good with the bad there. And I don't think it's such a big deal that he's sitting out this game, but it would be nice to have someone, a better option than Coburn coming in here. That's for sure. How about Josh Brown? Does that guy still play for the Sens?
Maybe he's just like a special assistant to DJ Smith. You know, that's the main reason they got him. He played for DJ Smith. Remember, Pierre Dorion said Josh Brown just scratching the surface. Well, I don't know if he's
healthy scratching the surface.
Yeah, for real. Braden Coburn or Josh Brown hasn't played in a while. 9 games in the season, -6, and just zeros otherwise across the board. So I wonder if we ever see Josh Brown again. Funny enough, the guy signed a 2-year deal though. So he's due, I believe it's 1.2, maybe 1.3 million.
Yeah, 1.2.
Yeah, so, I mean, him and Willanen seem to be quite the practice duo. They keep going as the fourth pair.
We thought they were going to be the second pair all year. Remember getting into training camp for like, yeah, Willanen, probably a top four guy, and we're thinking Josh Brown's going to be the good yin-yang to that defense pair. Nope, whoops.
Josh Brown's played 1 game since January 31st. It's now March 1st. Yikes. So he played 1 game this entire month. It was at Winnipeg, -1 in 15 minutes. So, don't hold your breath to see Josh Brown. Hopefully we see Eric Branstrom back tomorrow. But one guy we won't see in a Senators uniform was a man who's been on the taxi squad practicing this past week, and that's Logan Brown. The carnival act continues with the handling of Logan Brown. And I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, because it makes sense wanting to get him games. But there was that long stretch without games in Belleville. It just seemed like the perfect time where he could practice a bit and then go in. But they waited so long to call him up. Maybe injury had to play in that as well. But Belleville is back on Wednesday, so it does make sense for him to stay back in Ottawa as the Sens go out on this road trip, get into the lineup, and then following this trip, at some point you have to see what you have. The trade deadline is now 6 weeks away. When are we going to see Logan Brown in this Ottawa lineup, Billsy?
It's got to be soon, but I kind of stand by what they're doing here, because you cannot have a guy, especially like you said, the carnival act of the up and down, and is he good, is he bad, is he healthy, is he ready, etc.
He needs to play. He can't play. He's hurt. He can't play. Now he's back. He needs practice time. It's just a life is a circle, or time is a flat circle when it comes to Logan Brown.
Yeah, seriously, it's crazy. But look, you can't, like, the whole thing was, we're going to get Logan Brown down in AHL, down in Belleville. He's going to play good for 4 games. if he plays good enough, we're going to call him up and then he's going to get going. But the problem is he only got two games in. He was terrible. Then he got hurt. Again, the Logan Brown story. And you can't just put this guy in the NHL lineup just to get him in the NHL lineup. Like, sure, the stars have kind of aligned here. Unfortunately, Derek Stepan has a long-term injury. He's on the IR. But that's exactly what you needed to get Logan Brown inserted into this lineup. I think we said it earlier, or at least I did. I didn't see a scenario where Logan Brown and Derek Stepan are both playing for the Ottawa Senators. So this is the out where Derek Stepan is now no longer playing. And Logan Brown can come in, but you can't have a guy that was terrible in the AHL, injury riddled, inserted into an NHL lineup and just hope for the best, because that's not going to happen. And they've stuck to their plan of trying to put these young guys in positions to succeed. So if it takes a week or 2 weeks longer, they're going to do that with Logan Brown.
Side note, huge gain for Belleville already without, you know, so many returning players from last year. And then Philip Schlappick, his contract's terminated. So they're going to need Logan Brown in Belleville to have any sort of success over this opening weekend stretch. We're going to assume those four games against Laval, those were preseason games as far as I'm concerned, because the gap here in between that, let's see what Troy Mann can coach these guys up, because the defense for Belleville was not good enough in those first four games. Let's see if they can flip a switch here. They get underway on Wednesday. But the man who replaced Derek Stepan instead of Logan Brown, it was Artem Anisimov in between Tim Stützle and Drake Batherson. I thought he was okay. He had a great assist on Drake's goal to set up Stützle, who ultimately gave it to Batherson. I believe that was the first game against Calgary. Drake's been scoring so much, I'm losing track of who assisted on which one of his goals. But that's going to be the other lineup change tonight. Anisimov down to the fourth line between Watson and Pekka and Chris Tierney. And we read Ian Mendez's latest in the Athletic, Pilsy. It has been a while since Chris Tierney has found the score sheet.
Yeah, it has been a long time since Chris Tierney has found the score sheet. And shout out friend of the show, Ian Mendez, another great article on the Athletic. And yeah, I didn't fully realize this. I kind of knew it. He was on a goal drought, but this is bad. 20-game goal drought. And how about he's shooting at a team-best 14.3 shooting percentage. He scored three shots on his first three goals and hasn't scored since January 21st. Like, this is a guy that, yes, I always tout him for being a great passer, but he struggles scoring, and it's not for lack of chances. He's had a couple breakaways like Connor Brown shorthanded. He's hit a couple posts, couple crossbars, but this is a disher, and he's playing with two guys that could put the puck in the net. Drake Batherson seems to score every single night. Timmy Stützle, that's a guy that I thought was more of a passer. I'm starting to look at him as more of a shooter, honestly. Like, that shot is incredible. He's got such good offensive mindset to get in positions to shoot. Like, that guy, anytime he's got the puck on a stick, I almost would rather he take a shot on net than distribute it, because he's dangerous. So having Chris Tierney being able to set both those guys up, and you get a better defensive replacement over Artem Anisimov at that center position, is a great move for me, and I'm surprised it didn't happen earlier, to be honest.
Now that we're mentioning Tierney and Stützle, I want to say that right after Stützle was drafted or signed, whatever it was, that we said, who should he start with? I thought you were on the side that Tierney would have been the perfect guy to start Stützle with. Why was that?
I really thought that this was a guy that he could dish the puck, obviously Tierney, but also he can play responsibly defensively, like I said, so that if Stützle does decide to take those risks and try to create offense, but maybe doesn't do it the most responsibly way, you've got Tierney there back to cover for you. And he's not a guy that's going to be cheating. Like, Chris Tierney is not going to be the centerman that's hanging out near the offensive blue line and cherry picking for a pass to go for a breakaway. That's not him. So you can let Timmy do that. And Drake also is proving to be a great offensive guy while being good two-way responsible guy as well. So this line kind of has it all. As long as Tierney can kind of get his face-off numbers up a little more, that's where he really struggles, I find, then this is a making of a good third line. And the top two lines are already set. If you can get that third line solidified too, the fourth line, I'm not too concerned with who jumps in and out of there with Austin Watson, but the top three lines I think can be set and they can be successful.
Ottawa had an optional morning skate, so no real line combinations there, but we're going on assuming that yesterday's practice will be what they line up with tonight. And as Pilsy mentioned, still no word on the Tendy, but let's hope it's Joey Decord. I think he deserved it based on his third period, and we're in a back-to-back. And if you're going to give him one of the two games, why not be at home with a familiar opponent that he was able to make five saves on five shots against on Saturday? So, Pilsy, we've got lots to get into on this show. It's nearly the halfway mark. We've got our report cards, but we've got some good news out of the NHL as well. Like 17 days ago, it seemed like half the league was on the COVID list. It was actually 8% of the league. Well, that's down to four players. So just a word on how that means that this NHL season, likely, very likely, that we get a completion and a Stanley Cup awarded.
Yeah, I think that's very likely. I think maybe you're going to get into a case near the end of the season where a lot of teams are trying to make up lost games. You're looking at points percentage and stuff like that. But for the most part, considering the scenario and the situation and position the league is in with no fans pretty much everywhere, that's incredible that they're able to do this. So shout out to the NHL once again. Sure, it may not be perfect all the time, but I would say of the four sports leagues, they're kind of one of the more responsible ones. And that's what we love to hear. We want to watch hockey, but most importantly, we want to make sure everyone's safe and controlling the spread of COVID-19. So hats off to the NHL for giving us a good product and keep things safe.
As for the North Division, only one player on the COVID-19 list in the past while. I think two on the year, because Dubois, just because he came in here as a trade. So you could add Ryan Dzingel to that maybe as well, or that was just a straight up quarantine. I'm not completely sure, but Alexander Barabanov on the Leafs was put on there. And that's it. The whole year. So keep it up, North Division, especially no games postponed up here. And hopefully, knock on wood, that continues. All right, Pilsy, we've teased it, our midseason report cards. And the way we're going to do this, not by players, but by categories. And I'll throw a category at you. You'll give me your grade and we'll explain why. Then you and I are going to draft our honor roll. Those will be players that have not necessarily exceeded expectations, although mostly that's the case, but just your honor roll. Think about when you're at school and the honor roll is just straight up the best performers at their craft. So we've got our honor roll and our categories. Then later on in the show, we're going to have our preview of tonight's game. Who are we locked on? Our lookout and a keys to an Ottawa victory tonight. Pilsy, let's start with the offense. Through 23 games, we're 41% of the way through our season. How would you grade the offense on this team?
Well, this category actually gets one of the highest rankings of all the categories here, because I think really the Sens offense, like their forward core, hasn't been that bad. You're stuck in a North Division where everybody seemingly scores goals. I think of the top 10 goals for categories in the league on NHL stats, it's six of them are from the North Division. Like, it's wild how many goals are happening here. But sure, the Sens have gotten blown out, but they've also blown out teams. Also, they blew out the Calgary Flames. The 6-5 overtime win against the Leafs, I'm going to go ahead and call that a blowout. That was five straight goals scored. So we'll take that one as a blowout. But that's what I'm saying. Like, these guys can put pucks in the net, and they could put pucks on net. They're third, I think, in the league in shots for per game, like above 30 every game, especially the last couple of weeks. Ross, it seems like the Sens are in the high 30s of shots, even out shooting their opponents. So I really think the offense has been good here. I'm going to go with a B- for the Sens offense so far in this mid season, not quite mid season, but almost mid season report card.
Wow, you look at it, they're third in the National Hockey League shots per game, yet 24th in goals per game. So when you're creating and you're getting pucks on net, what's the next step to get this offense above a B-? How are they supposed to convert on more of these chances? Because they're averaging 2.61 goals per game, and really, it's got to get up higher than three to be in the upper echelon of the league.
Well, I hate to single a guy out here in report card time, but if you can get half of those Connor Brown breakaways into goals, your numbers are looking a lot better, even in the win and loss column. Like, that could have decided a couple games there. So Connor Brown needs to take advantage of those high danger scoring opportunities, because the Sens don't always get a lot of those, especially 5-on-5. I find they either get them shorthanded or on the power play. So that's something they really need to improve on if they want to work on that. But for the most part, this is a young team who the players that you're expected are going to lead this team offensively are ripe. They're new, brand new players like Timmy Stützle, Josh Norris, Drake Batherson. These are all young guys that are just scratching the surface, but they're already having success. So I think it's points to the future being bright for the Ottawa forward core here.
Yeah, I think you can also make an argument that as they get bigger and stronger, the shots will be harder and they'll be able to crash the net with more authority. Obviously, Brady aside, that 21-year-old freak is already doing it on a consistent basis. But you mentioned Connor Brown maybe wanting to contribute a bit more offensively. He's a reason why the next highest grade is where it is later on. But before we get to that, the defense here. Now, right when I said defense, the 8-5 game came crashing into my mind. But as it's been more recently, maybe withstanding the Saturday 6-goal outburst by the Flames, and I think that the defense has been a little bit better, but what's the grade here through the entirety of these 23 games?
Yeah, I think, and that's the thing too, we need to look at this through a full scope. Like, I would almost say there's two halves to this half of the season. Like, that first 15 games where they were just god-awful and they only won 2 of 15 games, that's an anomaly. Like, all those were terrible games. And then the second half of that, it's been pretty good for the Sens here. So you got to kind of wash those two together. So I'm giving the defense a grade of a C. I even considered a C minus, but this defense has not been good. And the guys that have been brought in to help shelter this defense have been bad. I mean, Coburn and Josh Brown have been healthy scratches for a majority of this season. Willanen has not been as good as we had hoped. Brännström is only getting a taste here, but he's also a very minimal part of the time on ice for that decor, so that's not great. I would say probably the biggest bright spot has been Zub. Like, Zub has been the guy that really came in here and solidified himself as a solid NHL defenseman. And shout out Zaitsev as well. Zaitsev has went from being the worst healthy player on our organizational value ranking to being a very important guy on this back end. But with the decor, you got to understand too, the Sens are heavily invested in future assets for this decor, right? Like, we're still waiting on Sanderson. We're still waiting on JBD. We're still waiting on Clevin Thompson, all these guys, right? So I think maybe in a year or two, we're going to see this decor round out, but the Sens know they don't need to have long-term plans. So that's why this decor is just a little shaky right now. So yeah, I'm giving the decor a C.
They do block shots. We'll give them that. Fourth in the National Hockey League in block shots, but where they need to be better is holding on to pucks and making better decisions. And that's kind of exemplified as the Senators have the second most giveaways in the entire National Hockey League. And if you're like, oh man, that's because they're playing in Canada, no postponed games, they've played a bit more. If you go giveaways per game, well, they're still in second. They're giving away the puck almost 11 times per game. Only the Toronto Maple Leafs are giving the puck to their opponents more. So when you're a team that doesn't have the quick strike offense that Toronto and Edmonton, the teams that are nearby them here in giveaways, you have to be able to hold on and be smarter with the puck. So I'm hoping that in the second half of the season, we see that number decrease a whole lot. Now, this next category pains me to get to because we are a goalie-friendly show, but we have to account for the entirety of this sample size. That includes the road trip from hell. What are we ranking this goaltending through 23 games?
Yeah, and similar to what I said before, there's two sides to this coin, really. The start and what we've seen recently. I'm giving the goaltending a C plus because it was terrible. It was god awful.
It was an F.
An F minus to start this season, Ross. Like, it was just bad because Matt Murray got in there and he was letting in goals left, right, and center that you can't let in. Oh, okay, let's get Hogberg in there in relief. And he's letting in the same terrible goals. So that first half was terrible. But then Matt Murray, something clicked when he came back from that short little injury that he just figured his game out. He got more confident, you know, get a little experience, new team, new environment, all these kinds of things. And he was steady. Like, he was stealing games for the Ottawa Senators, or at least keeping them in games they had no business keeping in. So for the Ottawa Senators, I'm giving them a C plus. Because maybe recency bias has boosted that because their numbers are still some of the worst in the entire league. But it's Matt Murray has the leverage here that he's played so good in the last week and a half that he's bumped that up. So for goaltending, I'm giving them a C plus. Also, Joey Decord still at 100% save percentage. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, Marcus Hogberg, not the best start to his season before the injury. When you look at Matt Murray's splits, they're better, But how could they not be from January, where he had one win in seven games and an 849 save percentage? In February, 11 games, a 904 save percentage. Still not great by any stretch, but he has stolen them games at the same time. So you have to have that in your back pocket. And hey, three wins in four games against the Montreal Canadiens, that does matter in my opinion. And just another reason why he should play in tomorrow's game. Let Joey Decord start against Calgary. Yeah, I'd probably say C plus is a bit generous based on just the sheer number of games that were lost because of goaltending. There's at least four I can count where if you got a save here or there, the Sens could be in double digit wins. So I would give that probably a C, but we'll settle on C plus. Give the extra plus as a goalie friendly show. Now let's move to behind the bench. DJ Smith now in his second season with Ottawa. Where would you give him? Not in the 2 year span, but in these 23 games, how are we ranking the coach?
Well, this was an interesting season. Like the coaches will tell you, the preseason and camp for them is so important for getting a real handle on how these guys play, who's at what level of expectations, who's building chemistry, who are you going to use on special teams, who is going to be in the draws, all these kinds of things. You get these kinks out in the preseason. That wasn't a luxury for DJ Smith here. He's dealing with guys that haven't been on the ice in a competitive game in hundreds of days. Literally their entire, probably from the time they were 4 or 5 years old, these guys haven't spent this much time not being in competitive games. Like, this is unheard of. So right away, from a coaching standpoint, you're behind the eight ball. One of the worst teams. They haven't played in a long time. A lot of roster change up. So keep that into consideration. It was tough for DJ Smith to start as well. But I think, and you got to credit him, he tried his way with the veterans. It didn't work. So he's trying a new way with the young guys after he feels like they've had enough time and they can be successful now. And that's working. So I've really changed my coaching grade on DJ Smith a lot since the start of the season. I'm going to give him a B minus. Now, most of the fans are probably absolutely mad at that, getting mad at lists. It's, you got to love doing that. But I really think he's stuck to his guns and he's working on a long-term plan here. Like, DJ Smith isn't trying to win the next game and then after that win the next game. He's got a big term picture in his brain and he's trying to develop these guys properly and make sure that nobody gets too high, too low. Everybody's trying to get a mix of ice time here. So for me, DJ Smith has done a decent job at and a B minus grade because I think he's really improved and starting to get a handle on this, on what this group can do.
And I think the players would tell you the same. They clearly play hard for him. And that's all you can ask for the players. Schematically, he switched up the defensive zone structure, a lot less chasing behind the net, which has been a nice, they're kind of holding their formation a little bit better. And that's causing the goaltending to improve as well because the shots are coming from the outside and it's allowing them to, you know, cover up rebounds a little bit better. They haven't been doing that, weren't, I should say, earlier in the year. So it's nice that they're straightening things out in the defensive zone. And that's all you can ask is that a coach is flexible and willing to learn. But when you see Austin Watson blocking that shot up 5-1, that just personifies what this team means and how important it is that they stick together. And that all starts with the coach. So that's a sign of life, for lack of a better word, with DJ Smith. I'm looking forward to seeing how he continually develops because he still has, what, 1, maybe 2 years left on this contract. And as long as they're showing life this year, next year, it's playoffs. It has to be. There's no way around that. And the tone is going to change. Expectations are going to change. And let's see how the coach can react to that. The expectations are always set by management, but this is a management that's gotten this team to 3 straight dead last finishes. Well, I mean, sorry, Red Wings, if that, you know, outside of them, you're looking at 30 place or worse finish in 3 straight years. So tough to give much kudos to this management team. How do you rank them? It's hard because 23 games in, what are we doing here? Are we only talking about the Ryan Dzingel trade, what he's done during this year? I think we should go back to the start of summer for management because that shapes how this team's going to look. So based on what this team could have looked like versus what it does, how do you rate management here?
Yeah, this is tough to rate management because what have you done for me lately? Not good report cards there. But how are you setting yourself up for the future? That's looking good for the Senators. So it's really tough to combine those two and get a grade. I'm giving management a C because they're not average. I would say they're below average, so they don't get the B, but also they've done some positive stuff for the future. But yeah, like you said, let's take this back to the summer. Let's take a look at some of these deals that Dorion had made. And the big black eye, the big stain on this offseason is trading that second round pick for Derek Stepan. That was an overpayment to begin with, first of all, on a guy who had the worst year of his career, had a high salary cap hit. Yes, less real money, which is what the Sens got suckered into giving value up for. But that was just, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to bring him in. It was good to get another centerman because you weren't sure how these young guys were going to perform. But I just don't think that was a match that was well. So that's a very poor grade. And unfortunately, Derek Stepan, it seemed like he was starting to get a little bit better, but now he's on the long-term injury reserve and you're not going to recoup any assets for him.
Yeah, that's definitely the worst move. But how about the way he thought this decor should be shaped? I mean, the proof is in the pudding with Josh Brown. He was so high on Josh Brown. Yeah. You remember Pierre Dorion talking about him? Like, he even said it, he thought maybe he could wear a letter for this team. Before he even played a game, he said that in the summer. I was like, what? This guy's been in and out of the lineup in Florida. And sure enough, one game since the end of January. So I think that his assessment of some of these players, giving up a pick for Erica Branson, I know he brings a whole lot more leadership off the ice. And hey, if you want a veteran to replace Boro, whatever, sure. One of those guys is great. But he gave up assets for these players. These are players you could get replacement level in free agency and not give up anything except for signing them. So I just thought that the way he shaped this decor, the pieces were there for it to be a lot better than it is now. I think that he hindered that. The jury, I think, can still be out on Matt Murray because of the life that he's shown recently, but you gave up a second rounder for him too. And your early returns on that contract are really what's looking like, hey, like, what gave you the confidence based on his .899 save percentage last year that he should be the seventh highest paid goalie in the entire National Hockey League? You couldn't offer a bit more to Columbus and try to pry one of those two guys away, guys who are a little more proven recently? Because we know goalies are voodoo, and the signs were there that Matt Murray, his glove hand's not great, his rebound control's tough. Don't even get me started on his style. I know that's not what you pay guys for, but I just think that he should be taking some heat, and rightfully so, on how he shaped this team.
Yeah, I'm a little different with you on the Matt Murray one. I actually think that's a win. Sure, it was an overpayment on the contract-wise, but when you're the Ottawa Senators, that's a luxury you can afford. And to get a guy with two Stanley Cups and 26 years old to commit to a rebuilding team that, like you said, has finished 30th or worse in the last 3 years, that can be tough to do. So I'm giving him a win on that one because I think it will end up working out for the Senators. And this is a guy that can grow with this core. So, and a second round pick was disposable at that point to obtain a starting goaltender. So for that one, I'm fine. Where I think this gets a little wonky is the Tampa Bay deal to try to, I think that was strictly a PR move to try to stop fans from rioting after trading a second for Derek Stepan, getting a second back from Tampa, and also getting Coburn and Paquette. And shout out me for some terrible hot takes. One of my hot takes was Paquette would be the only new acquired player to stick with this team. I thought the Sens were going to re-sign him. Whoops, that did not happen. That turned out terribly. He was god-awful. And then the Coburn has been a scratch. But let me ask you this, Ross. If you're looking at that trade and you're now looking at the Ottawa Senators acquiring Ryan Dezingle, Braden Coburn, and a second round pick from the Tampa Bay Lightning, that looks like a pretty good deal to me, right? And Alex Galchenyuk didn't cost you anything to include him in that Carolina deal. They didn't want him anyways. They kept him in Canada because they knew they were going to trade him. So I think that's actually okay. You get a second round pick, you get a warm body in Coburn, and you get a top six forward in Ryan Dezingle. So in that sense, that worked out nicely for Dorion.
Yeah, well, let's see if he can get back to a top six player, because Ryan Dezingle wasn't that in Carolina, only averaging 13 minutes a game this year, 14 minutes last year. But if you're talking about getting back to Ryan Dezingle that Ottawa got 2 second-round picks for just to get rid of him and Anthony Duclair, then I think you're looking at a really nice trade there. To me, it was the overvaluing of the big, burly defenseman and really just playing into, again, a coach who wants big defensemen who can box out, play like he used to play. So I think at a point, Ottawa had these young players on defense like Christian Willand and like Eric Branstrom, and now they're being pushed out because we've added these players who seemingly don't get moved. And then finally, I mean, it took 9 games with Josh Brown. We're still seeing Braden Coburn being put into the lineup. I mean, Artem Zub, how long did it take him to get his chance? And we know that what happened when he got. Sounds like it was the assistant GM, Peter McTavish, who did a lot of the legwork on getting Artem Zub over to North America. You still give Pierre Garçon credit. He signed the contract. But I think that this is the most interesting grade and the most, you know, contentious, because I would go a little bit lower than that. I think that the kids, yeah, you know, when you suck, you're going to get good draft picks. And I think that Dorian would be shocked if you had told him the day that they traded Erik Karlsson that that was going to be Tim Stützle. He lucked into that trade, but let's see what he continues to do, because he's not going anywhere. I don't know who else would want that job right now. We will see, but I don't know. Let's move on, because I feel like this.
Wait. Before we move on, though, I don't even think we said it. We're giving them a C grade management, but also we just hit on a whole lot of negatives quickly. You got to talk about the draft, because there was a lot of different ways the Senators could have gone with this draft. And a lot of people, myself included, were shaking their heads at a lot of decisions they've made. And those decisions seem to be paying off and seem to look like smart moves. Like Tyler Cleven trading up for that pick. I was very disappointed when that happened, because I really thought the two players that Toronto drafted for the pick that they got to trade up were better than Cleven. I liked those picks better, but now Cleven's looking amazing. Guys like Sokolov seems like a really nice pick. Levi Marilainen, the hockey world laughed at the Senators because this wasn't even a guy on anyone's draft board, and they picked him in the 3rd round, and he's turning out to be an absolute stud. So it's stuff like this. Ridley Gregg, a 1st-round draft pick that's has excelled in short sample, obviously, in the AHL, but has played really nicely. There's a lot of moves that they put their necks out on, and they seem to be paying off. So I think that's why you got to give them a C, because a lot of this, what they've done, it has to come to fruition. They're not trying to win now, so they're not making the right moves now.
The one thing I will say to that, though, is the moves that he made in this offseason seemed like he thought that they had a chance to win some games. You don't give up a 2nd-round pick for Derek Stepan unless you think you're going to be better.
But I think also this, he was doing that because you're in the North Division. You're going up against 6 other contending teams. You can't just put this line out with a bunch of young kids and this trial by fire, right? He was trying to support them with veterans that he was taking a gamble and having bounce back seasons. And most of those gambles did not pay off.
And that's how the grade is a C, which still isn't anything to write home about, but it's a C there. Now, special teams, before we move on to our honor roll, I gave it a C just because both the penalty kill and the power play have been much improved of late. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, especially the power play. I think that was the biggest problem all season long until this week, where they've been scoring almost at a 50% click when they were getting opportunities. So the power play definitely is much better. I don't think they've been poor shorthanded. They've just been okay, right? So, and they created offense shorthanded. Sure, Connor Brown doesn't score on those offensive chances, but they're creating offense the other way. So really, special teams, I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, so a C for special teams. I feel like there's not much more to be said other than you just hope they keep improving. And as you mentioned, the penalty kill, they're in a division where Toronto's got the 2nd best power play in the league. Edmonton's top 7. And there's just some great offensive teams. So for Ottawa's PK to be doing what they are, it is commendable to say the least. Now, our honor roll, these are just the best players on the team. Pilsy, we're going to draft these back and forth. And as you've been giving all the grades, we'll let you start it off. Who is the number one player so far this season?
Brady Tkachuk. I mean, there's no debate. There's no him and Han. There's no, is he in a group with other guys? No, he's in a category all on his own. Brady Tkachuk, for a guy that's leading the league in shots on net on a rebuilding team, that's incredible. A guy that gets hits at the rate, like we talked about a night where Brady Tkachuk had 12 hits. That's insane. He gets 9 hits regularly. He's always, go to betonline.ag and hammer Brady Tkachuk getting over 3.5 shots. That's a lock. He's getting that every time. So this guy is the heart and soul of this team, and he's done nothing short of bring this team into battles and really define the culture of what the Ottawa Senators are.
Yeah, how can you say it any differently than that? Brady Tkachuk is the heartbeat of this team. He brings intensity. He's gotten in, what, 2-3 tilts this year as well. He's the full package of a 90s hockey player that can excel in the 2020 style of game, because he does still play with pace. Are there things in his game that he still needs to work on? Of course, all 21-year-olds, there are. Maybe making the right pass at times through the neutral zone could be something that will grow in his game. Maybe being more confident with the puck through the neutral zone. But this is a guy who, at both ends of the ice, whether it's in the offensive or defensive zone, he is the heartbeat. And all the play revolves around getting the puck into that crease area so that he can bang away at loose pucks in his office. His next goal will be his 10th of the season. And he is just the perfect pick for this rebuild to start out when he was drafted 4th overall in 2018. Before we get to my first pick and the rest of our honor roll and to tee up tonight's game, let's take a break to tell you about Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Comes in 16 amazing flavors as well. You never have to choose the same one twice when 8 are chocolate nut flavors, 8 are chocolate nut free, but the bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy or girl. When I grab my Built Bar, I know that I'm going to lose or maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat. The bars are low in calorie, low in sugar, but they're high in protein and high in fiber. I'm going to let Pilsy take it from here with his pick of the week.
Ross, we got a new product here. Not only new flavor, but new product. It's not quite out on the website yet, but I'm giving you guys a little sneak peek as Built Bar influencers. We get this early. I got a Built Bar shipment to my house, and I thought it was going to be another mixed box, maybe a new Built Bar flavor, but this is a whole new product. It's Built Bar Crispy. Now, you guys know I love the texture, the soft texture of Built Bar. Well, they keep that soft texture, but they have like these little protein puffs. They're like little crisps in there that just add a little bit of crispiness. So Built Bar Crispy, only available in peanut butter flavor. I'm sure we're going to get more of those, but keep your eyes peeled for that because it is delicious.
Oh, I can't wait to try one myself. And you can too when you go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON20. It's a new promo code. The old one doesn't work. When you go there, promo code LOCKEDON20. And you'll get 20% off your first order. It's Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off your first order. We'll bet you love your Built Bars. And when you go to betonline.ag, no, you can't bet on Built Bar, but you can bet on absolutely everything. It's the one place that has you covered, the one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's betonline.ag. They're our exclusive wagering partner. And there's reason for that. You just have to go to their website, see it for itself. It's so easy to navigate, so easy to use. BetOnline.ag. You can sign up there today for a free account. So it's BetOnline.ag. You put that into your internet browser, then create your free account. Once you have it, you go to deposit. And when you deposit, there's a little promo code. Of course you have one because you're a listener to the Locked On Senators podcast. It's Locked On. And when you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. And once you're in, you're in. You can follow me. I wouldn't recommend it, but you could follow me into betting that Drake Batherson will get a 3-point night. And when it hits, I'm going to be laughing because when it hits, I'm going to get all the money back that I've been putting out, $5 every single game. When it hits, that's $120. Bingo, bango, bongo, right to me. Pilsy, I don't need it to be a part of your parlay of the day, but let's get to Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Here we go. All right, guys. It's been a rough patch for me, admittedly. But
You took a day off, though.
Yeah, I did take a day off. Hey, you know, Brandstrom's taking the day off. He wants to see things from a different perspective. I took the day off. I was in the suites just watching from above, taking a look at the NHL. Now I'm feeling good. I feel good about this one. And we're getting back to the three-team parlays. I think we're going to hit one here. The over of the Calgary Flames-Ottawa Senators game is set at 6. I think we're going to hit that. It's at -105.
What if Joey's in net?
Yeah, the Sens win 6-0.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's how that's going to happen, Ross. Now we're heading over to the Panthers and Hurricanes game. These Florida Panthers have been hot. Anthony Duclair is lighting it up down there. I'm going to hit their money line at -107. Still no Peter Mrazek for the Hurricanes. So I like that money line. Now This is the easy one that always seems to ruin my three-team parlays. This is just an extra one to boost the odds here. Colorado Avalanche money line over the San Jose Sharks at -210. Those are some poor odds, but I think they're going to get it done. So Flames sends over Florida Panthers money line, Colorado Avalanche money line. Put $10 into that three-team parlay, and you're going to win $45.76. Guys, that is Pilsy's parlay of the day.
Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Pilsy, time to get back to our honor roll. No doubt Brady Tkachuk leading the way there. Now, my number two, my first pick, second overall, is Drake Batherson, because the signs were there that this kid had arrived early in the season. The puck just wasn't going in for him. And well, what would happen to many young kids in that situation? You lose confidence, and then you just, the game falls behind. We saw that last year with Drake. We saw that 2 years ago with Drake. This is a guy, funny enough, he's now at 23 games, the same amount he played last year, and three more than his rookie year. So I'm excited to see what the second half brings for Drake, but he's already well past his career high in points and goals. He had 3 goals in each of his first 2 stints in Ottawa, already has 7 now. And a big reason for that is he's got goals in 5 straight and 6 of the last 7 games. So now the puck is starting to go in for him. He's got 52 shots on the year, and I just love his all around game. I can't say enough good things about how he brings the puck from the defensive zone. His D-zone coverage is excellent up at the point. I think that when he gets the puck, he's always looking 2 plays ahead. And when he passes the puck, he's already looking for a way that he can get it back. So whether he's on the puck or off the puck, Drake Batherson is a threat from wherever. And you're starting to see that because his goals are being scored in so many different ways. A couple lucky ones, a couple quick release wrist shots, a couple dekes in there too. He is your all-around top 6 right winger and a building block for this team going forward. We're seeing it right now.
Oh yeah, 100%. That's a great pick, and Drake Batherson, and man, he's making personal hygiene a top priority because it's bath time every single night for the kid. And to touch on what you're saying about at the start of the season, pucks just weren't going in. Again, we're going to reference our guy Ian Mendez, great article in The Athletic. In January, Ross, Drake's shooting percentage was 4% for the month. In February, he's clicking at a 22.2% shooting success rate. So it's black and white there, right? Like he's clicked, he's confident, he knows what he can do now. So Drake Batherson, excellent pick. For my pick, I'm going Josh Norris. This is a guy who wasn't even supposed to be here. This is Logan Brown's spot, really. Like Logan Brown should be doing what Josh Norris is doing right now. And it was a tough start for Josh Norris, but he's rounded out his game and he's looking nice. I think he's still in the top of the leaderboard for NHL rookie scoring category. Him and Pia Suter are at the top there. Norris is going to be my second guy for the honor roll here.
Yeah, it's unfortunate Kirill Kaprizov has the age jump on those guys at 24, but he's looking sick out in Minnesota as well. Josh Norris is a great pick. How about the faceoff percentage? I keep going back to it. He's almost taken 300 faceoffs already this year. He's at 257 faceoffs, and he's won 53% of them. So he's creating possession for his team with that, and he's already been on the power play. Only 2 power play goals, 5 power play points, but as the power play heats up, seems like he's been taken off the first unit in exchange for the guy who's next on my list. And it was only a matter of time before you get your young Jimmy superstar on the first power play unit. And that's just the next step in his development, because Timmy is electric through the neutral zone. He can one-on-one. It looks like the puck is literally on a string for him, and he's producing. He's got 5 goals in 20 games. That means he's on a 20 goal pace as the youngest player in the NHL, turned 19 on opening night of the season. This guy, he's on a 3-game point streak right now. He's got assists in 3 straight games, and he had a multi-point game, but right before that against Toronto. So this is a guy who has 6 points in his last 7 games. And has he officially arrived? Yes. Has he scratched the surface on what he's going to be? No. And that's what's so exciting for Timmy. His ice time is getting higher and higher. And in this last 7 games, he has three of his highest time on ice of his entire 20 game career so far. So is he being relied on more in defensive situations? Yes. Is DJ Smith understanding what he has? Of course. And I love that DJ Smith, when he was on the radio the other day, mentioned that he had a player in Toronto named Mitch Marner. And I know we hate the way he plays with his antics, tying his skates on the ice and doing all sorts of other extracurriculars, but there's no doubt he's talented. And when he was the same age as Timmy, he was in London in the Ontario Hockey League. So for Timmy to be able to do this in the National Hockey League right now is nothing short of extraordinary. I can't wait to see what his next steps are. He's fourth on this list right now. And I think a big part of that is the minus 15. Yes, you can't look away from that. No matter how you feel about plus minus, he's last in the entire National Hockey League. So that does have to come into play a little bit. But as a young player learning the game, I'm happy with his performance, to the extent that I think he has been, without expectations, like, he's been the fourth best player on this team. And I don't think that's a stretch at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Especially on the power play, he looks so dangerous. This is a team that doesn't have a lot of elite snipers. I mean, Dadonov is a guy that you should be looking at in that category, but he hasn't quite shown up yet. But Tim Stützle is a guy that can show up, and he's a guy that his shot is such a threat. So I love that pick. That's a great pick for you. Now, you said you're commenting on the negative of the plus minus of Tim Stützle. Well, let's get some warmer weather here. I'm going to go with Nick Paul, who is sitting, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the only plus players. Oh, no, there's a couple others here. But really, Nick Paul is the guy that's gotten the most usage at a plus four on this team. Is incredible. He's someone night in and night out. You can give this guy a third or fourth star of the game because he's so consistent. He may not wow you offensively like Timmy Stützle does, but he does all those little things that I love so much. His hustle and his grind and his work ethic are second to none on this Ottawa Senators team. So I got to give a big shout out for Nick Paul.
Yeah. Talk about development curves and what you're hoping to see from these younger players. Nick Paul exemplifies what you're hoping this development can lead to when, yeah, Nick Paul got sent down. He was playing in Belleville as recently as the 2018-19 season, playing with, he even started the 2019-2020 season there. He played four games before being called up and never looking back. So, hey, stick taps to Nick Paul. I love it. And he earned a one-way contract for 2 years, and that was awesome to see. A guy who's looking to earn another contract, and I am certain that unlike Igor Ozhiganov and other Russians who have come over, Artem Zub, if he wants to stay in the NHL, it's his spot. Because talk about delayed entrance to the year. Hey, Pilsy, like, doesn't get it in. He's this mythical creature. When is Artem Zub going to enter the lineup? And since he got his first shot, has there been a better defenseman on this Ottawa team, both offensively and defensively, than Artem Zub? He had the highlight reel, Wayne Gretzky-like breakaway goal, but he's got 24 hits in 14 games. He's great in his own end. He's got 13 block shots. So he is a guy who at both ends of the ice has been contributing. 5 points as well, and another, just like Nick Paul, a plus player on this team.
Yep, exactly. I think Zub has been great. That's found money for these Ottawa Senators. And you know what? I'm glad they didn't put him in the lineup right away. I'm glad they failed and realized, okay, we're going to need some help here. This is a guy who has a lot of pro experience in the KHL. Let's get him in there. So that worked out perfectly. Zub is one of my favorites.
I'm not going to say honorable mention. There's been too many holes in his game defensively, but we do have to, as we transition into tonight's game, Thomas Chabot is on some kind of tear right now offensively. He's got three multi-assist games in his last five. He's got 7 points in his last five games. What is stopping Chabot from being among these six honorable mentions so far?
The biggest thing for me, Ross, is he seems so, like, nonchalant about having the puck in his own end. Like, there's been so many plays where guys are just stripping the puck off his stick in the Sens end, which, as the top defenseman for this team, you cannot have that happening. Like, you can't be the weak link defensively. That just can't happen. So I'd like to see him play with a little more focus, a little more. He's got to have a point when he's got that puck. He can't just be kind of hanging out with it in front of the net and allowing guys to strip it from it. He's got to have a breakout in mind. He's got to be confident. He's got to be focused. So I just want to see Thomas Chabot. And, you know, he's had some injury problems this year. He's been in and out of the lineup. So I'll give him a little bit of slack for that. I'll cut him some slack, but I think we do need to see a better defensive effort from Shabbat, but offensively he's doing what we want him.
Yeah, and he's a big reason when the power play comes to life, right? And then he can facilitate with the best of them offensively. So I said 7 assists in his last 5 games. His next assist, Pilsy, will move him into a tie for the 4th most helpers in franchise history. You know who he'll tie at 4th?
Phillips?
Nope. You got the name is kind of similar if you were going to say his full name there.
I don't got it.
Phillips Cuba. Phillip Cuba, 102 assists. It's also crazy. He became the 2nd fastest defenseman in club history to reach the 100 assist milestone. Did it in 225 games. Pilsy, I think you'll get this one. Who was the fastest?
It's got to be Erik Karlsson.
Yes, Pilsy, it was Erik Karlsson who did it in 196 games, therefore 29 faster than Shabbat. However, I will say, it's not too shabby how Thomas's career has started. Now, you mentioned the start is going to be so important for tonight's game against the Calgary Flames. I'm going to go the other way with the goaltending. And Ottawa needs a big performance, and I'm hoping it's Joey, but whoever's in net last game wasn't good enough. And you can say that they weren't all his fault, and they weren't, but you need a big save at a big moment. And that's what David Rittich provided Calgary the other night, not the night he got pulled, but it seemed like Ottawa would get one, but then Rittich would make a big save and it would kind of kill the momentum. So Ottawa needs some momentum killing saves tonight from whoever is in between the pipes. And I'll also say my other key to a victory is the continuation of the power play. Right now, the power play is clicking at 50% over the last 3 games. That is an astronomical number. We don't need it up there, but if they get 4 power plays tonight, we need at least 1 goal, hopefully 2, but if they can get at least a goal from the power play, I think that they're in good hands to get a victory. It would be their 2nd series victory this year, coming off of their 1st one when they swept the 2-game set against the Montreal Canadiens. Pilsy, who are you locked on from a Senators perspective tonight?
Well, I'm going to be locked on to Evgeny Dadonov. Like, this, what was the streak, Ross? 9 goals straight scored by players 23 and under for the Sens?
Yeah, under 23.
Yeah, exactly. So that's enough of weight on these young guys' shoulders. Like, come on, guys. The veterans need to step up here. And sure, Dadonov has had some big moments, definitely. That Leafs game, he was a stud, scoring the tying goal and the OT winner. But I want to see a little more from him. But what I like to see from Dadonov is that tic-tac-toe play on the power play where he's in the tight slot and Tkachuk is behind the net and one touch passes it to him for a one-timer. That's been getting chances, but Dadonov hasn't been burying it. It's been a while since he's scored now, so I want to see him take a bit of the load off the young guys in Drake, Brady, Norris, Timmy Stützle, all these guys, and start showing that he's a guy that they need to be looking towards to score more goals. So I'm going to be locked on to him because there was I think it was the 6-1 win against Calgary where Evgeny Dadonov had the lowest time on ice of all forwards, even lower than Watson, Pekka, some of these guys. Like, that can't be happening from a guy who's getting paid $5 million to put the puck in the back of the net.
Yeah, the line looks still good, even with Dadonov not performing as much as you'd like. Playing with Colin White, who has 3 goals in his last 2 games, and Nick Paul, they're still, you know, contributing as you would expect. For me, it's the deep pair of Braden Coburn and Erica Branson. What are you going to get out of those guys? Braden Coburn will be playing in his 974th NHL game tonight. This is a veteran of all veterans, and he's been embarrassed based on his play, how he's done this season. Now, he's coming off a Stanley Cup win. Did he contribute in that? I mean, that's remains to be seen. He got into 3 games during that entire playoff run for Tampa, but he just needs to frankly be better. And with Erica Branson, who's been terrible the last few games, his worst game as a Senator, I think, was this past one against Calgary, the 6-3 loss. And there's been a few that have come close. He had the 1 goal, the +3 performance against Calgary in that big win. But other than that, he's been a minus in each of his last 4 games when you exclude that one. So let's see a little bit more of a steady game from those guys. And I hesitated to say Braden Coburn because, you know, he's coming in from the taxi squad and whatnot. But I just know that DJ Smith's going to play him as though he's a top four defenseman. So I'm going to be locked on them. I'm going to be hard, but harsh, but fair with that pair of Coburn and Gabranson. And you can follow us on Twitter at Sen Central. We'll be live tweeting the game and following the game. Tune into at Locked On NHL. A fun little thing we're doing there is post-game recaps, and those get up usually within the hour after the game. So keep an eye out there. And if you don't follow Locked On NHL, go check them out. And then, you know, already we really appreciate everyone subscribing to the Locked On Senators podcast. And we've noticed an uptick in reviews. We read those and it's crazy. They actually go a lot further than you may think. So I'm locked on our reviews as well at Locked On Senators Pilsy. But who are you looking out for here? Calgary, a little bit of an offensive resurrection in their game, scoring 6 goals on Saturday. How do you stop them? What are you looking out for them?
Yeah, the big three showed up in that last game for sure, in Monahan, Goudreau, and Matthew Tkachuk. So I'm going to go a little different way. I still think this Calgary team, they need to shake something up. Something's got to get shaken up here because the culture there isn't great. We heard Haley Salvian, who we had on the show last week, talk about it, how it seems like the room is a little bit divided. So I'm going to be looking at a guy who they've been very open about shopping, and that's Sam Bennett. Sure, trading this guy isn't going to get you a monumental return. It's not going to affect your roster in a massive way, but it's going to be a shakeup, and it's going to be a message to the rest of this team how things are going to go moving forward here. So I'm going to be watching him because this is big for him too. This is a young guy who is a high draft pick who hasn't really performed to his expectations. So he's going to be wanting to play his heart out to get onto a team, to get that change of scenery and to get a new opportunity. So I'm going to be looking out for Sam Bennett here tonight.
Yeah, he's been taking some bad penalties too. I noticed that's a part of his game that might shy some teams away from acquiring the 24-year-old top 5 pick at one point in his career. I believe it was 2014 now. So yeah, he's at a turning or at a fork in the road of his career. And I think that he is an interesting guy to look out for. At the mercy of being a bit too obvious, of course, I'm going to be watching Matthew Tkachuk, all of his shifts. But I'm looking at that Backlund, Dubé, and Lucic line as a whole because I thought they were a lot better in that second game against Ottawa. And they're a line that can physically dominate at both ends of the ice. Ottawa needs to be ready for that. And you know what? That seems like the line to me that Coburn and Gabranson should be lined up against because they're not at the risk of being blown past by speedy wingers. Like if Goudreau gets on the ice, Coburn and Gabranson better be off as soon as possible. So I'm looking for some big boy hockey from Coburn and Gabranson up against that Backlund, Lucic, Dubé line that, you know, was pretty bad in the first game despite Lucic scoring, but I thought they were a lot better on Saturday. So let's see what is next. And just a word to the wise, if any Senators are listening, don't fight Milan Lucic. That is not smart.
Yeah, holy, did Austin Watson get embarrassed there. Like, and that was extra embarrassing because that was supposed to be a spark plug of a fight.
Down 2-0.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did Austin Watson even get a punch thrown in? I think he just got ragdolled for a couple minutes and that was that.
Has Milan Lucic ever lost a fight, though? Like, this guy is a mutant.
Yeah, he's an absolute beast. But I mean, he's more of a wrestler than a fighter. Like I find he doesn't throw a lot of heavy punches. He just uses his brute strength to kind of throw you around a little. And then you don't get a chance to throw in a fight. Next thing you know, you're on the ice with your jersey a little higher over your head than you'd like.
76 NHL fights for Milan Lucic. And yeah, Pilsy, wrestling or not, I don't think he's lost too many of them. It will be a physical affair tonight. I don't know if fights will be the result, but I know that Calgary likes to play big, tough. They're again in an identity crisis right now. And that seems like the way to get out of it is to play physical and play hard. And I expect Ottawa to try and match that step by step. So excited for the game tonight and excited that it's a back-to-back. You don't have to wait long for more Senators hockey tomorrow. We'll be back to break down all of what we saw tonight and preview tomorrow's game. We also know when Nodak starts their playoffs. We'll tell you that tomorrow and a whole lot more. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.